I think you'll be surprised at how much the Scripture has to say about this subject, but we're going to dive right in and give you some things that will help you in life, some tools. We're going to talk about making decisions, how to make good or great decisions. You know, decisions and choices are things that we all face every day. And we have to know how to make good decisions if we're going to succeed in life. And I'm not here to try to give you some tips and steps to, you know, being a success in life. But, you know, God cares about you. He cares about your life. And when you study the Scripture and understand redemption and what Christ has paid for, Jesus said this in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He didn't come to establish religion. He didn't come to set up a new form of doctrine, but he came to pour out his life that we might live. And he wants us to enjoy life and have it abundantly. But in order to do that, we have to know how to make good decisions. Now, notice Joshua chapter 24. I'll give you a little bit of background here. Joshua is charging the children of Israel and reminding them of all of the great things that God has done for them. And he goes back even before they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. And he talks about all of the great things that God did to set them free. And then he says this in Joshua chapter 24. Go down to verse 14. Well, let's back up to 13. He said, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant. You eat from them. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now here Joshua utters this statement on behalf of Israel, but specifically concerning himself and his household. In essence, he is reminding them of how good God has been to them, what he has done for them, and charges them to serve God. But he said, you choose who you will serve, but for me and my house, notice how emphatic he was, we will serve the Lord. Now, here's something you have to understand, and I want you to take this and think about it. Nobody has authority in your life like you do. Amen. Nobody. Not your boss, not your mama, not your daddy, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. Nobody has authority in your life like you do. And nobody has authority in your house like you do. We live in a culture where too many people live their lives in confusion, not sure what to do, not sure what decisions to make or what choices to make. And so they sort of run their lives and run their families, you know, by whichever way the wind blows. What's popular today? You know, what are my friends doing? What is Pookie and them doing? How do they handle this? Well, we need to live our lives by a standard that's much higher than the wind or Pookie or my friends. We need to be rooted and solid, and we need to have a firm foundation in our lives. Joshua had a foundation, because he had served Moses for over 40 years. He knew God's power. He knew God's grace. He knew what God had done. And he made a bold declaration, as for me and my house, that was based on his experiential knowledge of God. He said, we will serve the Lord. But as for you, he told them plainly, you choose. You choose. You want to serve God? Serve God. Look at what he's done for you. Look at the benefits that come along with serving God. But if you want to serve the gods of the Amorites or the gods of the Egyptians where you came from, knock yourself out. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it's one thing to say that Joshua was this bold guy and made a stand that literally determined the outcome not only of himself, but also his family. See, here's one thing you need to understand. The choices that you make in life will determine your destiny. Or, let's say it like this, they will determine your destination, where you end up in life. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with young men who made a bad decision. Bad decision. And it cost them dearly. I saw a young man not long ago. In fact, he and one of the church members, their son, knew this guy. Well, I knew him years ago. He had come to one of our youth blasts and given his life to Jesus and accepted Christ as a Savior. But he ran with some friends who were doing stupid stuff. And it just so happens, one night he was driving an automobile and his friends went in and robbed the place. Well, he's driving the getaway car. Well, what they didn't know was the police had the place staked out and there were undercover cops inside and outside. And so while they're in the store, they get busted. And the next thing you know, he's got a state trooper with a pistol in his face. And it scared him. And this young man made a bad decision. Tried to get away. Didn't get far. You with me? That decision. And I don't know what they got in the robbery. It was like $17 or something. Cost him 8 or 9 years of his life. Listen, that is a stupid, everybody say stupid. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. That is a stupid decision. So not only do we have to learn how to make good decisions, we've got to teach our kids the process so that they can make good quality decisions in life. You with me? Nobody has influence over your children more than you do. Now, you might think, well, they don't listen to me. Oh, you'd be surprised. They listen to you more than you think they do. All right? But you just keep your faith on the line for your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews. You have influence over them. They will listen to you. That's why Joshua was so emphatic. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to have some standards. You need to have some guidelines that you live by. Now, you're in Joshua 24. Turn over to Deuteronomy. You want to go to the left, chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You're going to learn some things this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30. God has established the kingdom in such a way that in order for you to succeed in the kingdom of God, you've got to learn how to make good decisions consistently. In other words, the blessing of God is not going to fall on you like ripe cherries dropping off a tree. There are certain things that you're going to have to do. There are certain things that you're going to have to believe. And it's all up to you. God won't force it on you either way. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. And I'll start with the name of our church. Our church is Mount Gerizim Christian Center. Well, you only found Mount Gerizim a couple times in the Old Covenant. But it is specifically the Mount of Blessing. It is the mount from which certain of the elders from the tribes of Israel climbed up on this mount and decreed the blessing for obedience. And then certain others of the elders went over to Mount Ebal, got up on there and declared the curse for disobedience. And so Mount Gerizim, or the proper pronunciation, Mount Gerizim, is the Mount of Blessing, where the blessing of God was declared. And so the blessing was declared from Mount Gerizim. The curse was declared from Mount Ebal. Now, you might ask the question, why two mountains, one for the blessing and one for the curse? Because God did not want Israel to mistake a blessing for a curse. A blessing is a blessing, and a curse is a curse. Don't mix them up. They don't go together. Are you with me? And many times in Christian circles today, people still mistake the curse for a blessing. I've run into people over the years who said, well, you know, the Lord gave me this disease because he's trying to teach. Oh, really? God's blessing you through a disease? Well, I'm glad you didn't run into Jesus because he'd have messed up your blessing. Amen? God doesn't make people sick. If he does, then we have a major theological crisis on our hands. Because Jesus went about healing. Teaching, preaching, healing. One time he was accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. And Jesus said, you know, all manner of blasphemy will be forgiven men. He said, you could blaspheme against me, you'll be forgiven. He said, but whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, not in this life or the next. He was telling these men, you'd better be careful. And then he said this, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, then who do your children cast them out by? But he said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come near you. And he said this, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Satan can't cast out Satan. Jesus was the one who said that. So if God makes people sick and Jesus heals them, we got a problem. The kingdom of God is divided. No, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. But he said, my Father within me, he doeth the works. In every human encounter, Jesus did exactly what God would have done. So God doesn't make people sick. Job declared that in Job chapter 36, verse 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment. He will not afflict. Elihu said that by the Holy Spirit to correct Job and his friends. So we have to understand that a curse is not a blessing, and a blessing is not a curse. You got it? That's the background. Now, after the blessing was declared from Mount Gerizim, and the curse was declared from Mount Ebal, notice what was said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. He said this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. In other words, here's the blessing, here's the curse. Choose life, that you and your seed may live. Notice it's a choice. They could have chosen death. But here he tells them, here's the blessing, here's the curse, you decide. If you're smart, you'll choose life so that you and your seed may live. Here's the thing that I think we all understand. Life is nothing more than a series of choices that we make every day. That's what it is. We make a series of choices every day. But how can we make good quality choices? How can we make good, godly decisions? Well, here's one way in a general sense. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to show you a little later some steps that you can take in making good, quality decisions. Romans chapter 8. Life is nothing more than a series of choices that we do that we make every day. Romans chapter 8. Now, here is a classic text that gives us some insight as to how God leads us. Now, we all know that scripture in John chapter 16 where Jesus said, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will show you things to come." Talking about the Holy Spirit. Here in Romans chapter 8, it says this. Notice verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," I often tell people, underline those two words, "in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, if the Spirit of God dwells in us, and He says it four times in this chapter, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, then He says in verse 14, "They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Well, if the Spirit of God lives in us and He leads us, it would stand to reason that He's going to lead us from the inside out, not from the outside in. All too often, Christian people make the mistake of making decisions based on their surroundings. That's the quickest way to miss God. Your surroundings have nothing to do with the will of God. Your surroundings have nothing to do with the will of God. Amen. See, there are many people who think that, well, if everything's cool and everything's nice and everything's sweet and I don't have any trouble, I must be in the will of God. No, not necessarily. And conversely, they believe, well, if things are rough or things, you know, I'm having trouble or if I'm having difficulty, I must be out of the will of God. No, not necessarily. What you need to do is find out the will of God first. Well, Pastor Bill, how do I do that? How do I know the will of God? Well, number one, you know the will of God in a general sense by what the Word says. Okay? This book is God's will, written for us. In particular, the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start there, hang a right. That was written to born-again folk. Okay? Don't try to figure out the will of God digging in Leviticus. You're going to find some stuff in there you don't understand that doesn't apply to you because it wasn't written to you. Are you with me? So here is the will of God in general, and it deals with a lot of specifics. But there are decisions that we have to make on a daily basis that the Scripture does not address. Are you with me? For example, there's no place in the Bible that says thou shalt go to work for General Electric. It's not in there. So how do you know if GE offers you a job if you should take it or not? See, most people sitting in here said, what? If they offered me a job, I'm taking it. Well, that might be good for most of us, but that's not for everybody. Are you with me? But how do you know? Well, if it's not in the Bible, then you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Where's He? If you're born again, if you're a Christian, He's on the inside of you. And He will lead you from the inside out. Don't make decisions based on your surroundings. They have nothing to do with the will of God. Are you with me? But rather, lean on the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. Here's another verse you can write down, right next to Romans 8:14, right in the margin of your Bible, Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. That verse says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." That word lamp is only found two times in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word near. You find it again in Psalm 119:115 or Psalm 119:105, one of those verses, where it says, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, God turns the lamp on or the light on or enlightens us, particularly two ways, through His Word and by His Spirit. But His Spirit lives within our spirit. And so God will turn the light on the inside of you. Are you with me? Many times when it comes to making good, godly decisions, just do what the Bible says. Amen. Do what the Word says. Amen? Amen? Right. Trying to see if we have any little kids in here. We don't. I remember years ago when I was going to Bible school, I had to work third shift because classes were in the morning and early afternoon. And I got a good job working nights for a convenience store chain on the north side of Tulsa. I didn't know Tulsa very well. And, you know, there were a lot of my friends who thought Tulsa was the Holy Land. Well, I soon found out it wasn't. But there were times I was propositioned with many things, and I had to make a decision real fast. But, you know, it was real easy. You know, I had a lady get in my face nose to nose with me one morning, about 2:30 in the morning, and she told me what she would do for $10. Well, that wasn't hard. The Bible says don't do that. So I don't have to sweat it. I said, no thanks. And, you know, but for a lot of people, that would be a struggle. And it's not the price, it's not the amount, it's the act, because it feels good. Y'all with me? Well, what are you going to do? She propositioned you for $10. Well, what if it was free? We're all adults. Amen? What do you do? You do what the Bible says. The Bible says don't do that. And so you say, no, thank you. Or no. It's a pretty easy decision to make. I had a lot of guys come up to me and say, hey, Blood, you get high? I said, no, I got Jesus. I said, what? I got Jesus. Well, what do you mean? You can't get no higher than that. Come on. But for a lot of people, that's a struggle. You with me? I'm going to help you this morning. All right? I'm going to help you this morning. But that never was a temptation to me. It never was a struggle for me. You know? But for different people, different things are a struggle. Now, I am tempted in certain areas. I just learn to avoid those things and say no. You with me? And it's more than just saying no. You've got to know how to make a good quality decision. Okay? I've been presented with opportunities. I had a fellow one time wanted me to invest in some invention that he had. You ever had the invention investment thing? I've got this thing that I invented, and I'm telling you, it's going to take off. It's going to be a hit. But all I need is some seed money. I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, and I'm thinking the guy wants $500-$600. You know, no, this dude went right for the big time. Need about $10,000. Well, when he said $10,000, I just nope. no. Not doing that. You know, it just on the inside, just didn't feel right. I knew better than that. You know what I mean? Here's a little rule of thumb for you. When it comes to loaning people money, you ready for this? This is a golden nugget you need never forget. You ready for this one? I'm telling you, this is good. Never loan anybody money that you're not willing to give them if they can't pay you back. How's that? Never loan anybody money that you're not willing to give them if they don't pay you back. That way, when they don't pay you back, you can keep your heart clean. Amen? That's profound. I had a relative years ago. Was in a bad situation, borrowed some money, so I gave him the money, and the situation didn't get any better, it got worse, and he came back, wanted to borrow some more money, and I sort of have a rule, well, I'm not giving you anything, you didn't pay the first one back. And he said, you know, can I borrow? Nope. Well, would you co-sign? Nope, don't do that. You know, and so, you know, he kind of took it personally that I wouldn't loan him any more money. I said, listen, I gave you this. You didn't pay that back. You know? I said, and anyway, we're just dealing with symptoms here. We're not dealing with the real issue. You need to change some things. That's why you're constantly in the hole. See? And so, But what I did was I said, you know that first money I gave you? Keep it. It's yours. You don't have to pay me back. I just gave it to him. And that way I keep my heart clean. You know, in fact, I saw him the other day. Hey, how you doing? Hey, praise the Lord, how you? Didn't even think about it. You know, but never loan anybody money that you're not willing to give them if they can't pay you back. All right? That way you can keep your heart clean. All right? You won't be mad at them every Thanksgiving when they come over the house. Choices and decisions. All right. So how do we make good quality decisions? Well, first of all, we should have a basic knowledge of the Word of God. That's why it's important that we feed on God's Word every day. Just do what the Word says. Many times Jesus was approached by men and they would say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus would say to them in turn, what does the law say? How readest thou? And they'd speak up and say, well, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And then you shall love your neighbors yourself. And Jesus would say, fine, do it. He would always point them to the Word. What does the Word say? Do it. Because the Word will give us direction. But when the Word does not address a particular issue, then we have to depend on the Spirit of God. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Well, if He lives on the inside of us and He leads us, notice what it says in Romans 8:14. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That word sons is a different word than what you find translated children. It denotes maturity. So mature Christians are led by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. So how does He lead us and guide us? There are times He will speak to you. Did you know the Holy Spirit has a voice? Holy Spirit has a voice. I've often told this story. I remember when I was going to work one afternoon in Tulsa, and I was driving to the north side, and Tulsa's kind of flat, and at the time where I worked was undeveloped. There was a lot of just rural nothing out there. So you could see for a mile down the road, and I was heading to an intersection, and the light was green. On the other side, it was red on my side. It was a four-lane road, and I could see the other light turn yellow, which means by the time I get to the intersection, it's going to be green. And sure enough, I'm about an eighth of a mile from the intersection, light turned green. I'm motoring through with my Volkswagen Rabbit, and the Spirit of God said, stop, don't go through the light. I heard His voice. Now, there was nobody in the car but me. And I dare say if you'd been in the car with me, I bet you wouldn't have heard it, but I heard it. He said, stop, don't go through the intersection. And I rode up to that light and stopped. Green. And I looked to my left and a big Lincoln Town Car, I can still hear that car, doing at least 70 miles an hour, ran the red light. And I heard him go through. And had I not listened to the Spirit of God, I'd have been right in the middle of that intersection. And He'd have hit me in the driver's side door. Who knows what would have happened. But thank God the Holy Spirit cares enough to speak to us once in a while. You with me? There are times He will speak to you and say, don't do that. Don't go there. Are you with me? Do I have a witness? Anybody ever heard His voice? There are times you will not hear His voice, but you will sense something on the inside of you very strongly. Many times when we're making a decision, if you don't feel good on the inside, you don't feel comfortable on the inside, many times, you know what that is? That's your spirit trying to tell you something that your head hadn't figured out yet. And He's trying to save you from a whole lot of hurt. Let me put it like this. Have you ever done something, made a decision, and then after it was all said and done, you said this to yourself? I knew I shouldn't have done that. Everyone? Anybody ever been there? How did you know? The Holy Spirit on the inside was talking to you the whole time. But so often we get caught up with our surroundings. You know, it looks good. Hey, everything that looks good ain't good. Amen? I could tell you stories there. I'll tell you this one. No, I won't. No. Everything that looks good is not good. No, I'm not telling that story. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll close with this. Here are some steps that you can use to make a good quality decision or a good quality choice. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the account that talks about Moses. And in this account, we'll see some valuable information that we can use. And you could preach from here, I'm telling you. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start with verse 24. Notice what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Now, let's examine this. Moses did this by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
Faith is the way the Christian's supposed to live every day. Amen. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. All say verbatim, word for word, the same thing. The just shall live by faith. That word live, peripateo, means to walk about or to occupy. That's the way the Christian's supposed to live. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for we walk or live by faith, not by sight. So faith is an integral part of our lives. Everything we do should be done by faith. So this is how Moses, by faith, made a tremendous quality decision. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, here's something that you have to be aware of. When you make decisions, many times you have to refuse some things. It's tough to make a good decision and hang on to all your options. You know, I got a fallback position. I've got a backup plan. No, you need to make a decision and stick with it. And that means you will have to refuse some things. You have to choose. And the way we do that is by making an estimation. He esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. That simply means he made a decision. Think of a balance or a scale. He's got option one, suffer affliction with the people of God, or enjoy the treasures of Egypt. He chose suffering affliction with the people of God because that is greater than enjoying what Egypt has to offer. And so in the process of making a quality decision, you always have to esteem some things. You have to make a choice. You have to weigh them in the balance. Do I go this way or do I go this way? Do I date her or do I date her? See, don't try to be a player and do both.
Amen.
Can't say amen, say oh me. We've all been there. Thank God I married Valerie. What a wonderful woman. But there were other women who came at me. But I made my choice. And so I had to refuse to even talk to some others. I'm being honest with you because she's downstairs. She doesn't know. All right? I was at another church in town. I think, were you there then? That it was for the seven last words. You weren't there. Your sister Denise was there. You know about it. I was in there, and Valerie and I are engaged. And this woman, I saw her, I knew her, I've known her for years. Hey, how you doing? You know, real nice. She grabbed my hand and said, oh, Brother Young, I've been praying for you. I said, well, thank you. And I tried to get my hand back. She said, no. I've really been praying for you. Well, thank you. No, I've really been praying for you. I couldn't get my hand back. Well, I thought, help! I'm looking around. There's Valerie and her sister over there. And I said, so they came over. So I said to this woman who had me by the hand, oh, I want you to meet my fiance and her sister. And I pulled my hand back away and I walked off. Well, that wasn't hard for me. Are you with me? But there are some people who try to keep all their options open. No, when you make a good quality decision, you need to refuse some things. Okay? This is very important for people who are making a decision that is transformative in nature. In other words, you've given your life to Christ, and now you want to live a godly lifestyle.
Hallelujah.
You're going to have to make some changes, and part of those changes may involve refusing to live the way you used to, which means you've got to cut some of your friends loose. You with me? The ones who want to get high every night, and you're trying to stay clean, you got to refuse some stuff. If you don't, you haven't made a quality decision, and they're going to suck you right back in there. Are you with me? I had friends like that when I was going to college. I had to cut them loose. It doesn't mean I didn't like them anymore. It doesn't mean we're not friends anymore. It just means we're going two different directions. So I had to esteem, which one do I want? All right, watch this. Notice verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Sometimes in making a decision that's a good, solid decision, you have to forsake some things. You got to leave some things behind and do it without fear. Are you with me?
Amen.
I just talked about, there are some people who aren't interested in you succeeding in life. They're not interested in your destiny. They're not interested in your family being blessed 20 years from now. All they think about is the present. I've got a fella that I've known for many, many years, and he's a part of the church, and he was a over-the-road truck driver for many, many years. He said, Pastor Bill, he said, you know, I get out on the road, and he says, and there are all kind of things that I'm tempted with. I said, well, when you're tempted, call me. He said, man, it's good to talk to you. I can walk through it. I said, call me anytime. I don't care if it's 3:00 in the morning. Call me. And you know that dude did? He did. Hey, I'm up in Wyoming. Hey, how you doing? Man, I'm up here with some people that I shouldn't be with. I said, talk to me, brother. He said, you know, they want to get high, and there's some women hanging around here that I shouldn't be hanging around with. I said, well, you know what to do? He said, yeah, thanks, Pastor Bill. It's always good to talk to you. I said, anytime, man. Call me. See, but he had to not only choose some things, but he had to forsake some things. You know, and there are times you have to do it. You got to leave some things behind. And I'm proud of that guy because he did what I told him to do. He called me. Amen?
Amen.
By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing. And when you forsake things, do it without fear. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Notice the next part. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, notice, you have to do this by faith many times. And so after you make that decision, and you've made a choice, you've esteemed something better than something else, there are times you're going to have to endure. You know what it means to endure? That means you made your decision and you don't back off it. You made your decision and you don't quit. You made your decision and you're not going to change. That's where endurance comes in. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. There are a lot of promises to overcomers in the Scripture. So you have to endure as seeing him who is invisible. Notice verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, what significance is that? He kept the Passover. Well, it's simply this. Moses knew because God commanded the Passover to be kept every year. And so all Moses was doing what he knew to do. And so I could phrase it to you like this, in making a good quality decision or choice in life, there are times once you make that decision, just keep doing what you know to do. You may not see results right away. You may not see things change right away. That's okay. They will change. You just keep doing what you know to do. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Keep being faithful. Keep giving. Keep showing up. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep practicing the truth that you know to walk in. It works. It always works. And then, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians trying to do were drowned. I had a pastor years ago. He said, you just pass on through to victory. That's what you do. You just keep on keeping on. And God will always honor your decision. So, there are several points here, and I'll list them for you, and we talked about them. Number one, you have to refuse some things. These are all elements in making a good quality decision. Many times you'll have to refuse some things. You'll have to choose other things. You'll have to make a choice. That's the way God always set the system up. You choose. You'll have to esteem. You'll have to make a value judgment. Which one is better? You'll have to forsake without fear. Many times you have to leave some stuff. And unfortunately, you have to leave some people behind. Now, I'm not talking about your kids and your loved ones. Are you with me? But I'm talking about people who are bad influences and are not there for your good. They're not interested in you moving on with God. They're not interested in you enhancing your relationship with God. They're there to drag you down. Amen? And I just don't have time for that. You have to endure. You have to persist. You don't quit. And you keep doing what you know to do. And lastly, pass through to victory. Choices, choices, choices. We're faced with them every day. But we can make good choices, walk in the blessing of God, walk in the peace of God, walk in the health of God, walk in His prosperity, and experience life just like Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But it's going to have to take your faith and it's going to take you making good choices. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?